Welcome back in to the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Sportsnet tonight with the Flames and the Canucks.
I'm on the game.
Perfect.
Yes.
Timing tonight.
Large match. The Vancouver Canucks are 1 point behind the Flames in the standing. They've played one more game than the Flames. It's tight.
In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Rick Dollywaugh, co-host of Donnie and Dolly on Czech television in Vancouver. He'll tee up the Vancouver side. A little later on, Eric Francis will give us the Calgary side. Mm-hmm. As the Flames go in there as, like, favorites, right?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, I know.
How can you not sit there and go, like, who's feeling better? Who's looking good?
Canucks are on a back-to-back. It's in Calgary. The Canuck vibes are just off. And the Flames, you know, this is exciting. They have a legitimate chance here.
You know, I like to bust on Sammy every once in a while, right? Because often coming out of our Leaf Edition hour, he leaves the Leaf jersey up. Mm-hmm. This time you didn't.
Thank you.
But it's a huge game tonight.
Yeah.
We're in both markets, Vancouver and Calgary. How do you
I'll change it after the break.
Okay, I just wanted to follow up the strategy behind with the Canuck jersey first. That's all.
I can't imagine that either fan base pictured them themselves in this position.
No.
Of this game.
Yeah, good point.
Right? Where, like, the Flames, like, we're in a playoff spot and we have a chance to play against the Vancouver Canucks to further our playoff spot.
Yeah.
And the Vancouver, like, we're fighting with the Flames for a playoff spot?
Yeah, no.
It's a tough spot.
It's funny, even with the Canucks a bit behind them, the projections, like Dom Lucision of The Athletic has projections and has the Canucks with 44% chance to make the playoffs and Flames at 24% chance. Flames got to be way higher. I mean, I know that's a mathematical model, but this is, whoever wins tonight, it's a massive swing in those numbers. Massive.
Seems maybe Calgary with the edge, I think, during the regular season as well, is got to be feeling like we're a lot more destined than these guys right now.
Yeah, I think so too, Kip. I mean, so much has gone wrong with Vancouver's season, and I don't think the Flames were even kind of calling like a bit of a rebuild year, and instead they start adding. They're obviously feeling good about themselves. The one thing I have said about the Flames, like, boy, it doesn't seem like they score. They don't have a top-end offense. They can't create. The team they're playing tonight, the Vancouver Canucks, only team in the NHL without a forward who has 40 points. They don't have one guy with 40 points on their roster. They're the only team. So
forward on their roster.
Only forward, yeah. Sorry, Quinn Hughes has 61 points.
Yeah.
But, so this is a matchup of two pretty offensively inept teams and just a matter of who can shoot it in.
And the Flames have potentially the rookie of the year in net.
Yeah. Right? Well, and Valley said Vezina. Likes his game a lot.
So in the first hour, in our Leaf show, we talked about a statement game possibly for the Toronto Maple Leafs with Florida Thursday night. Can Vancouver have a bit of a statement here? Maybe grasping at straws here, but can they have a good feeling coming out of this, even with a loss?
No.
No?
No.
That's not possible from here on in.
They got 17 games left.
There's no more. Are they not so low coming off of a loss to Montreal that even if they showed some real life in this thing, that it can still build?
Yeah, you start,
No.
You start doing the math. It's like, okay, they got 18 games left.
He scored the other night.
He's got two goals in his last three. They could.
He ripped one in last
night.
Yeah,
he did rip one in.
Something like that would be huge. Quinn Hughes could come back tonight. That would get the momentum going. But when you start to do the math, how many points do you think makes the playoffs in the West? Maybe it's 91. Okay, well, the Canucks have 69. You got 18 games left. You got to get, 22 points? You need 11 wins in 18 games, Kip. So go like 11-7. Pretty attainable. But you lose a game tonight to Calgary, and it gets a lot harder.
Yeah.
Maybe the total goes up to 92 that you need, and now you need another win. It's just, they got to win tonight.
Working on right here.
Kevin Lankinen is going back-to-back.
Yeah.
Almost never happens in the NHL now.
Yeah.
At least that was projected that he'll go back-to-back.
A lot of pressure on him, too,
and
coming
like,
in tonight.
Yeah, and Demko, unfortunately, just hasn't been. So much has gone wrong. World record amounts of things have gone wrong for this Canucks team. But Kevin Lankinen has been a bright spot. So, I mean, you used to see guys go back-to-back. It used to happen. What's that?
Nothing. I was just, Jen was talking to me.
Oh.
Yeah, didn't Valley say, well, how many games did Henrik Lundqvist play the 1 year for them?
Yeah, a pile.
Luongo played, I think Luongo played 70 games 1 year for the Canucks.
And I also think he said Lundqvist, save percentage in back-to-backs was like 920 something.
But, you know, you love that as a teammate where, you know, you're going to the back-to-back, you need the game, he's your goalie. You're like, yeah, I'm going to play goalie. And you can't lose, so maybe you don't feel as good if he doesn't play very well, but at least he went out there and he gave you the chance, he tried.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So, and it's going to be crucial. So after this, Vancouver has a couple soft games, Chicago, Utah, and then they have a six-game road trip. So, you know, it just gets harder. It gets harder for them. And I do think that we should probably give some love to St. Louis and Utah.
Well, they're nipping around the edges here. Yeah. They're not going away.
They're not going away. And they have more home games than away. They've got a lot of non-playoff teams. They have such a soft schedule coming up, the Blues. Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Anaheim, Nashville, Vancouver, Chicago, Nashville, Montreal, Nashville coming up for them. So, look out, Blues.
Any faith on Quinn Hughes coming back and making a difference off of what obviously is a nagging scenario here? Like,
they rushing him because they're worried about the season?
Do you have any faith at all that he can come back and play like he did prior to this?
Yeah.
What do we got? Stomach pulled muscles.
I think he can play, Kip, but he's might be a little tentative and maybe you won't get the best of him, but let's talk to someone who knows more than me.
Rick Dalywa joins us. It's been a while, buddy. How are you?
Love you guys. I'm back. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, we're back. Having you back.
So if we ask Calgary Flame fans, which we will through Eric Francis, this will feel as close as a playoff type of atmosphere. They're pumped. They're jacked. Canucks, can they find anything to feel the same way, or are they too busy right now going, what the?
Yeah, they better figure it out, Kipper, and real quick, and I'll tell you why. 8 points up for grabs this week, 8. And last night they started this week off with the 4-2 loss to the Habs. This is the biggest game of the year. Guys, I don't know how else to say it to you other than biggest game of the year. It's a 4-pointer, 1 back of the Flames, Calgary, Vancouver, St. Louis, Utah. I'm going to be amazed to see where these guys are at the end of the week. Now, Canucks are 3-6 since the Four Nations. I've got them. They got 18 games left. They got to go 12-6 in my eyes to get to 93 points, and then they got to wish that's good enough. But there's problems out here, guys. They can't score. Lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League since January 1st. So is the other team, by the way, Calgary. This could be a snooze fest. There could be like 5 shots halfway through the game. 14 games in a row, Vancouver has not scored more than 4 goals. 6 weeks ago, last time they scored more than 4. Their top 6 guys, it's like Besser, DeBrusk, Pettersson. Pettersson's on pace for 52, 53 points. That's not good enough. Center ice position, they don't got a second line center. They miss JT Miller, who's ripping it up in New York. Here's the best positive news I can give you guys for Canuck fans is that Quinn Hughes made the trip. Quinn Hughes skated for about 25, 30 minutes this morning in Calgary. You know, when you look at their goal scoring problems, that guy's a big problem. That's a big reason why, because he creates so much of that offense. If he gets back tonight, I don't know if he is, but it sure looks good after looking at some of the video of Hughes skating in Calgary today. But that would be a big bonus, a big time bonus. But Kipper, to be really nice to you, it's the game of the year.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
Yeah.
It's the game of the year.
No, we're looking forward to it as well. So sometimes the fan base here in Toronto, Rick, will pick apart the Leafs, albeit they're challenging for an Atlantic division still, but style of play, dump and chase, is it affecting Austin Matthews at all? What about in Vancouver? Is it just on the players to put the puck in the net? Is Tocchet taking any heat at all for style of play or reducing minutes off of some of these key guys?
Last year, Kipper and Bourne, the Canucks had, I think, 6-7 guys who had career years. Well, guess what? A lot of those guys are going the other way this year. And the center ice position, you guys know, when your first line center is on pace for 51 points, that's not good. And that guy creates a ton of offense. He's supposed to. Pedersen's not doing that. They don't have a second line center because they traded him to New York. And Quinn Hughes has been hurt a lot in the last probably 6, 7, 8 weeks. So there's reasons why the offense is down. But Besser's got to get going. No goals in 9 games. 4 in his last 22. 2 goals in 14 games since JT Miller left. Besser misses JT Miller. He misses him a ton. He misses him a ton. And the other centers, like before last night, Besser played 2 games with Suter. Suter's not going to get him the puck. He didn't get him the puck. And he needs a guy who can get him the puck because Brock always gets in the right areas of the ice. He's a finisher. He's a shooter. And right now, none of these centermen can find him the puck. That's a big issue. And it's not Hedl either. So a lot of their goal-scoring issues are the center ice position. Quinn Hughes is out. A lot of guys are having not great years. And, you know, DeBrusque has been either DeBrusque scores 9 goals in 10 games or he goes no goals in 19. Like, it's hot and then it's cold. But he's very hot and cold. And right now, DeBrusque, all their top guys, look at the top 6 guys. That's where the problems start with this hockey club, is not a lot of production from the top 6.
It's crazy how obviously things happened internally that we're not necessarily privy to, but it's crazy to see JT Miller traded and then be like, boy, they sure miss great JT Miller. It's like, yeah, really good. That happens. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, anyway, yeah, shocked to hear that. Quinn Hughes, is he going to, I know you don't know if he's going to play tonight, but Kip was asking me, you know, can he come back, look like himself? Is he possibly being rushed back because you have to win tonight?
No, if you saw the video of him yesterday at practice and then you saw the video of him in Calgary today, he's getting close. You can tell because a week ago at practice, he was kind of lingering. And go look at the video yesterday and today. He's definitely getting better and closer. He is simply the most important player in this franchise. Because guys, in 2 years, if that guy walks, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because his contract's up. They have to do everything in their power to keep this guy. Look, Horvat gone. Miller gone. I can't tell you if Besser's coming back. I can't tell you if Demko's coming back, and I can't tell you if Pedersen's coming back. Like, you know, he's got to be looking at everybody leaving and going, how am I going to sign here in 2 years if everybody's gone? Like, this guy's a superstar. Like, since the day they drafted him, on and off the ice, he goes home in the summer, and he doesn't kick up his feet and just enjoy, you know, taco chips and beers and this and that. This guy is an elite thinker. He's thinking about how to get better in the summer, improve his shot. He'll call coaches up and say, hey, give me a shot on the PK next year. I never got the PK. This guy's brain is focused to getting better every single day. He is an absolute, in my eyes, we've had Pavel Bure here, but I think this has been the most incredible draft pick in the history of the Vancouver Canucks. He's just a charm to deal with. But everything they do, this organization, has to be with the thought of where is that kid going to be in 2 years? Because if that kid bolts, boy, oh boy, yeah, you've just lost your franchise defenseman. and probably your best draft pick ever.
Rick, do we know for sure if he's dealing with a sports hernia or?
I haven't heard the sports hernia. I do know the oblique. It was the oblique that kept him out of the Four Nations. And then he's got his hand taped up. Like, guys, he had the hand, then the oblique. And now he's got a new one here. And the guy's banged up. You know, he's banged up, but he's one of these guys that he just... And if I could tell you quickly, Kipper, and you know this, it would have killed that kid not to go to the Four Nations and put on his American jersey, knowing how competitive he is. And it just, it was tough. That was probably the toughest decision of his life that Sunday afternoon when he told the Americans, I can't go, I can't do it. He is such a competitor. He just wants to get it, and it's killing him missing these games. Every single one of these games he's missing, it's killing him.
Yeah.
Because he's so competitive, and he's got such incredible drive, you know?
We'll be talking about that Four Nations 20 years from now, and it'll kill Quinn Hughes, it'll kill Shea Theodore, and anyone else that came close to being a part of it and didn't, and can't tell their grandkids anything about it, but, you know.
Charlie McAvoy, that's a big game.
Listen, we look at the Vancouver Canucks, just not this season, but the last couple of seasons, and it just seems like adversity after adversity and scenarios where distractions. But where is, like, Rick Tocchet and his future on that list coming up?
Well, it's high up there, Kipper. He doesn't got an extension. You know, you would think he won the Coach of the Year last year. Strike when you're hot. The iron strikes when you're hot. Nothing in the summer for an extension. And now we're down to the last 18 games. Here's what I can tell you. The Canucks are trying to extend him. Like, they do like the guy and they want him back. But as Patrick Galvin says, it takes two to tango. Maybe Tocchet's taking his time. So let me throw this at you. Tocchet's franchise goalie has got four injuries in his last 11 months. His franchise defenseman could leave in 2 years. His franchise center is on pace for 50 points and signed for 7 more years. Like, now the media's, I know the media's getting to talking because he made a couple of comments in the last two games that tells you that the media's getting to him. And, you know, he's really good buddies with Travis Green. I'm sure they talk. I'm sure he called Travis before he got hired and said, hey, what nut bars in the media do I got to be careful about? Yeah, you know Travis would have given him the lowdown. You know, watch out. I was probably on the list, but no. No, Travis and I get along. Travis and I get along. Travis likes me, but the media's getting to talk it. It really is. The other night he said, you guys can stir it up all you want. Then he said, some guys try and cause crap all the time. Some guys try and cause problems. Look, guys, the media got to Green at the end, too. The media didn't get to Boudreaux because the media loved Boudreaux. Boudreaux's problem was with management. It wasn't the media. But I think Rick Tocchet, it's been a really trying year. He's had to babysit Miller, Pettersson, the feud. You know, he's dealing with, you know, media's all over him now. And, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, what's going to happen then? But he's got a decision to make, Rick Tocchet. I'm really surprised we're 18 games left in the regular season. He's not signed, but maybe he needs more time to think about it, guys.
All right, well, let's have this conversation. The Canucks have had everything go wrong possible. I mean, literally everything in a season that you could have go wrong with the franchise seems to have gone wrong. They have a chance to make the playoffs. What has gone right? Who's playing well? Like, is it Philip Hronek playing 27 minutes? Who do you look at this year and go, this is part of what's going to be their turnaround, their solution, their future?
Well, the future, I want to talk about this Elias Pettersson defenseman, guys. He's been a find. Third-round pick, went to Abbotsford. He's paired up with Hronek. This kid went down to Abbotsford. He reminds me of Matias Olin. Big, strong, loves the physicality. That's a guy to keep an eye on. In 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, they might sign Tom Olander, their first pick out of Boston University. That's a guy to keep an eye on. So when you ask about future, that's the two guys that I really like. Garland's been great all year. You know, he's given you 19, 20 minutes every night. He's been super. You can't, no complaints about him. Lakira Mackey's up too. He's a young kid. He's 9-10 minutes a night. They think he could be Besser's replacement in about a year, year and a half. So, you know, that's that. They've had, you talked about bad luck. Joshua, great year last year, comes to camp, and then he had to deal with cancer. He fell behind, you know, Demko fell behind because of the summer. There's so many things that they fell behind with. Look, their future, Lankinen, five-year deal, came here, you know, in the summer. Nobody wanted him, and he turned a $700, $900 deal into $5 million or $4.5 million on a five-year deal. He's been great. Hronek, you mentioned, 28 minutes almost last night. He, you know, people ask, could he control his own pair? Well, he's doing that since Quinn Hughes has been out. But look, there's going to be surgery if they don't make the playoffs this summer, guys. They got to get a second-line center, you know, and they, those guys don't grow on trees. I wonder if they'll be in on Sam Bennett. That's just me guessing, you know, but how much they got $13 million in cap space. They didn't use it at the deadline, which surprised a lot of people, right? So are you going to solve your problems? You can solve them three ways, through the draft, through trades, you know, or July 1st. So, you know, and one thing Kipper knows, and you know this, is you never count out a Jim Rutherford team because Jim's always got something up his sleeve. Because if he's not happy, you know, he's thinking 24/7 on how to, you know, rebuild this thing in Vancouver. I don't see a rebuild. They were talking about that on the radio in Vancouver today. But I certainly, they might have to retool here a little bit because, and the other thing, they better, Pettersson better show them in the next 18 games that he's a first line center, or they're going to have a decision to make on him at the draft too.
Rick, I want to follow that up with the thought that that would be reason alone to keep Brock Besser, because you're not going to rebuild. And as you mentioned earlier, you can't score. That should be reason enough that Brock Besser is still a Vancouver Canucks. But why am I left with the impression that he's a Vancouver Canuck today? Because you couldn't get a bucket of pucks for him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, that, you know what? That, well, you said it. But yeah, not me. You said it. Well, actually, Alvin said it, Kipper.
Thank you.
The GM came out and said it. And I don't think Brock and his camp are doing cartwheels about that. I mean, they can't be. Yeah, I mean, they just can't be. Like, the one thing that Brock has felt at times in this negotiation is that he's been disrespected. And, you know, the GM, you know, hammers him quite a bit all year long. It's been happening. But so here's the thing on Brock Besser. The Canucks did make Besser a contract offer last Thursday, a brand new one. Not the one from earlier in the year, but they made him a brand new one. It wasn't good enough. It didn't get close. I would say to you that if Besser's going to continue playing in Vancouver, and I do believe they'll probably continue to talk after the season, he's looking for 6 or 7 years, guys. Can he get that from Vancouver? Vancouver's first offer was 5 times 8. They don't want to go to 6. They don't want to go to 7. And they don't go. They definitely don't want to go to 8. Can he get 7 years on July 1st is the big question. Can Brock do that? I don't think Brock has any desire to sign for 5, but I wonder if 6 or 7 could get it done, and I wonder if 7 can get it done on July 1st. Look, Brock Besser, 9th all-time in team scoring, right? I mean, he's been here forever. And they can't find the common ground on term. And you've mentioned it, Kipper, in some of your articles on Sportsnet, the money is not the issue. It's the term, you know. They just gave Marcus Pettersson, what did they give him, 5-6 years? And he's the same age, 28. So I just, Canucks don't want to go to 7 or 8 years. And they were stuck at 5. And I think Brock wants 6 or 7. And he might have to go to free agency to see if he can get that term.
Rick, enjoy the game tonight. We will most certainly watch it with great anticipation. Thanks for doing this, pal.
My favorite guys in Toronto, you two. Hey, even though the city of Vancouver hates Toronto.
Yes.
And believe me, they do.
Oh, we know.
And I got a warm spot for you two and Friedman. That's it.
Wow. We'll take it. We'll take right, that Vancouver adios. Love from Rick Dollar.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your time. Great stuff.
Co-hosts of Donnie and Dolly on Team Check Television, baby.
It's an avalanche of information. It's drinking from an information fire hose.
Love it. Game time?
Game time.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So the game we are talking about on our network tonight, the lovely Justin Bourne, part of the panel tonight. Who are you with tonight there, sir?
I'm with DA, Luke Gazdick, and Sam Cosentino.
Splendid. It is the Vancouver Canucks are pretty big underdogs, like you mentioned, going into Calgary, going into the Saddle Dome, where the Flames are pretty good. Dustin Wolf's been really good in Calgary. The Flames are minus 155 favorites in that game. So the Canucks are going in as plus 130 underdogs. Second half of back-to-back, travel, same starting goalie.
Like, I think Calgary's going to win, but I don't mind that number for the Canucks.
It's a tough spot for the Canucks to go in, especially if Quinn Hughes plays, you like the number a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a pretty big number for the Calgary Flames. If you're to zoom out at the start of the year and look at that, then you'd be pretty surprised.
By the way, that Pettersson they talked about, they just gave all those years to. He just got walked last night by Suzuki. That was concerning.
Maybe not. He was a little too easy.
Yeah,
he made a hell of a move.
That was a great, great deal
to cut back in and
patient and yeah. Anyway,
fantastic.
It's okay. And speaking of those Montreal Canadiens, they are on the second half of back to back. In Seattle, taking on the Kraken. Crazy number to me. I know the Montreal Canadiens aren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but the Seattle Kraken are minus 150 favorites against the Montreal Canadiens. Montreal Canadiens, like I said, not perfect. They have Jacob Dobish starting tonight, who's been pretty good for them. Give me the Montreal Canadiens as underdogs tonight, plus 125 against the Seattle Kraken, who are no good.
By the way, the Canadiens... We actually need to get PJ back on the show. They're 2 points out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're good.
We had a show earlier this year where, like, are they going to disband the franchise? Are they getting relegated?
PJ's going to be like, oh, yeah, now you want to talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. Put him on, let him do his thing.
So give me the Habs tonight against the Kraken. And the other two games, Ducks, Utah, and Buffalo, and Detroit, not worth talking about.
Okay.
And that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
I just want to follow up a little bit on Patrick Alvin and his comments that, you know, you would have laughed at the offers for Brock Besser. And yeah, on the surface, it kind of looks like it's a little disrespectful to Brock Besser. And I don't know if it was just, I think he was trying to be really honest, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying his best to kind of reiterate that we just weren't getting enough offers, but it came out maybe the wrong way for him.
But I do think that
I don't think he did it purposely or he wanted to embarrass anybody.
There's a world where the point he's making is I value this guy so much. You know, if someone comes in and offers me a second, it's like, you know, like that's not 2 seconds aren't going to cut it for this guy. I value this guy so much. So maybe he's thinking it's a compliment as he's saying it.
I don't know. Sometimes I just think that there's these guys now, they think they're in an era where you got to give too much information or you've got to be
totally honest. You need to bite your tongue right now, Kip.
I'm on the other side. So I appreciate when someone gives us honesty and a real
butt.
But there's just some days you just give them nothing. Just give them nothing. Nope. Keeping them. That's it. There's so many ways. The one thing I would stress if I was a manager or on that side is that you never, ever, no matter how you feel about a player, you never devalue
of course
your asset.
Yeah, but like I said, maybe he thought he's like, the point is I value this asset, but I did come out the way you're talking about. You know, it's really hard for me, and I'll confess this. I tend to think that if we all can see what's going on, typically with most of these situations, wouldn't it be nice if everyone were just honest and talked and just tell us the truth and we'll all grow up and move on? But sometimes in these jobs, you do have to be a politician. You gotta fib or lie or boast or like it's yes. A PR and it sucks. I hate that. I hate that that's the truth.
But no, it is the truth.
It's part of the role.
But it also, the more you open up, the more they'll pick it apart. Us.
Yeah.
yeah. We should go, but I got a text on the text line from a 403 number, which is a Calgary number.
Yes, it is.
Pronounce Calgary.
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 Sammy, it's pronounced Calgary, not Calgary. Go Flames, Calgary. Go.
Well, now have...
Say Calgary.
Now
Calgary.
Now have Sammy say Detroit.
Detroit.
No, you don't say Detroit.
Elliot's
Detroit.
The worst.
You say Detroit. Detroit. Yeah. It's the third syllable. With what?
Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
Not Detroit.
Detroit. I say Detroit. Detroit. I say Detroit.
Elliot's the worst.
Is he a full Detroit?
Oh, yeah.
And a Calgary?
But you ever see how he hyphenates like all the teams?
It's a mess. Yeah, it's a mess. But I will say, living in Toronto long enough,
Toronto,
you do learn that it's not many syllables.
It's not Toronto. It's Toronto.
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 All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll get the Calgary side.
Oh, no. Calgary.
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 It's not Calgary either. Oh, no.
Flames.
The Flames.
I'm not saying Calgary the rest of the year.
No, you just said it right. Good job.
I don't know what I said. Eric Francis, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All eyes on the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks tonight. We'll track down Eric Francis. Rick Dollywad just did a great job covering the Vancouver Canucks.
I think. Hold on. We're doing pronunciations. You say the L at the end of Dollywall, do you not?
Okay. What did I say?
Dollywall.
Dollywall.
Calgary.
Dollywood.
This show is off the rails.
Calgary.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I'm
all right.
Scared to talk.
I'm
right
producing
now.
Over here. Okay? All right. Let me do it.
Huberto, Kadri, Coronado, Farabee, Backlund, Coleman, Sharangovich, Frost, Pospisil, Lomberg, Rooney, Gusari. That's a good hockey team. That's a solid playoff team that is going to work like
Where
hell.
Where was that comment in October? No one saw this coming.
No, that's true. No one saw this coming, but here's where it came from. Farabee and Frost fill it out really nicely. Those are nice additions. I don't know that Coronado, I thought he was going to be a player, a contributor for them this year. Pospisil, Zari, those guys have come along. Some of their sort of, I don't know, this guy could help guys. They've helped. They've developed. That's very nice for the Flames.
Where are you outside of maybe even making the playoffs here, but in a year or two, where is the likes of Rasmus Anderson and Naz Kadri for you?
Well, you know, Anderson, why does everyone trade their good players? Why is it I know they did.
That may not be the case here.
But like Anderson is 28 years old. He's a force who's getting better. He's a great player. Like, to me, that's like, let's keep this guy till you've got to give him whatever, 7 years, 8 years. Take him till he's 37, 38. No?
Yeah. Is he now? I won't save this for you. I'll save it for Eric Francis here, senior columnist with Sportsnet back. Buddy, are you nervous about the big game? Are you good? This is playoff hockey, isn't it?
I love it. I don't get nervous. I get excited. This will be fun to watch, fun to cover.
That's a good athlete answer.
Does it feel like it's been a while since a game like this has kind of carried a buzz?
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. You know, like the Battle of Alberta still carries a buzz every time. And, you know, when Original Six teams come to town, there's also a kind of a separate buzz. But I get what you're saying. Like, these are rare occasions in southern Alberta where playoff hockey type hockey is being played with playoff implications. So yeah, like people in this city are really excited and I think they're nervous. I mean, there's a real hatred in this city for the Vancouver Canucks. There always has been. In the 30 years I've covered this team, they're the chief rival of the Calgary Flames, not Edmonton, Vancouver. So this is, it adds a layer to this.
That's fantastic. And I will say Toronto also hates Vancouver. So shout out to our friends in Vancouver. And they hate us. That's I say us as being in Toronto. Listen, I'm a BC boy. But so tonight, such a massive game. Calgary has the leg up right now. It feels like it's kind of their playoff spot to lose. How did we end up here, Eric?
Oh, man, I hate to boiled all down to one word, but goaltending.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, Dustin Wolf has been that good. And with the help of Dan Vladar, like, he deserves some credit for shielding Dustin Wolf from some pretty tough starts. But, you know, without the goaltending, this is, none of this is possible. Guys, they're the lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League. Like, that is unheard of for them to be in the playoff mix. Yeah, there's 19 games left, still some hockey to be played. But at this point in time, they've been doing it with a defensive style, a unity, a work ethic, and a goaltender that's been out of this world. And that's how we got to this point right here. What's interesting to me is how Vancouver got here. Like, you know, in Calgary, it's kumbaya. Everybody, you know, fans think it's great. The unity in the room is strong. The organization's moving in the right direction. There's a blueprint. There's no controversy. We're on the other side of the mountains. It's just been chaos all year long. They've been dragged through the mud. They've dragged themselves through the mud. I think they traded the wrong star. Like, it's just chaos. And yet here we are, 63 games into the season, and they're in the same spot, really, points-wise almost.
So, Eric, what has this done for Craig Conroy and the management team to speed the process up, is the easiest way I can ask you?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I think everybody saw this as like a 3 or 4, maybe 5-year project. But, you know, I think that, I speak to Craig Conroy all the time. Got to admit that he's a little surprised at where they're at right now and how quickly things have come together. But that said, you know, I think that there would have maybe been a temptation for them at the trade deadline to go and add a piece, rent a piece, pay an exorbitant price to grab somebody to fill one of the holes on this roster. But they didn't. And so in some ways it hasn't sped up the process at all in terms of changing your tack. They did go out and get Frost and Farabee a month before the deadline, but those guys fit into the blueprint that they were looking for anyway. So, you know, they haven't acted any differently in terms of front office moves, just because this team is in a, you know, competitive mode right away.
Eric, tell us a bit about Ryan Huska's influence, his season, and where his fingerprints are on the team this year.
You know, he's kind of the mastermind behind the system, of course. And, you know, he kind of recognized two years ago that when he came in that this wasn't a team that was going to win track meets. This is a team that's going to win, you know, only based on defense first hockey, discipline hockey, stay on the right side of the puck all the time. And that comes with a sacrifice of offense, obviously. But he's, you know, and he's not the only guy in the league that's ever done that. Lots of guys do that. And we saw it here with Daryl Sutter to a degree as well. So, but he's done so well to kind of put it in the hands of the players. He says, I can come up with all the X's and O's and plans and designs I want, but if the players don't buy in, then I'm powerless as a coach. And he's empowered a group of 6 leaders. He refers to it as his leadership group almost every day. And it's the veterans, the guys who've been here, the Kadris, the Colemans, the Michael Backlunds, the Huberdeaux, Weegar, and Rasmus Anderson. And they've even added Ryan Lomberg to an extent this year. But those are the guys. And they have rallied the troops. And it's those guys who've kind of driven and set a standard for the youngsters and said, we can be a competitive team. This is how you have to act as a pro on and off the ice. And if we do that, it can work. And that's kind of the way it's worked. So I give full credit for him being a player's coach and empowering his players to want to play for Ryan Huska.
If there was any thought for Craig Conroy to trade Rasmus Anderson, it would have been this year with another year left on his contract at 4.5. The value that he would have brought would have been better than anything I think we could see from a defenseman maybe in the last few years. So in saying that, with the success that the Calgary Flames have had this year, it's a no-brainer that he resigns.
Well, I'll refer back to your earlier question. You know, had this team been a bottom feeder like everyone expected this season, then maybe you're right. Maybe the plans have changed because they have decided to keep Rasmus Anderson. Maybe they would have traded him if they weren't in a competitive mode right now. But that said, Rasmus Anderson's played a very large role in this team's ability to be competitive and be in this situation. So yes, they value him tremendously. You know, points wise, you know, I don't think he ranks with many of the number one defensemen on any team in the league. He's also minus 22. I know that's not a very important stat, but it's somewhat telling. Listen, this guy is, I think, fourth in the league in shot blocks. He's just been so selfless and become a real leader on this team, if not the leader of this team. And so that is something I'm not sure they were sure he was capable of. He's done it in spades. So, yeah, they definitely would like to re-sign him. But the question, Kipper, what price? You know, like, if he's going to be asking for anything more than $9 million a year, my guess is this organization says, well, thanks, but we wish you well and we'll trade you in the summer. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do trade him in the summer. It'll all depend on how badly Rasmus Anderson wants to stay here and is willing to kind of eat a few dollars to stay here.
Eric, the Flames currently have, according to cap wages, $17.1 million in cap space, and next year the cap is going up $7.5 million. Do you think they plan to be active in trying to add free agents?
Oh, yeah. Like, again, I don't know if this is the year you kind of go all in. You know, they're trying to, I think, coincide being, a real contender with the year they open the new arena in 2027. So, you know, is next year the year to go all in? Well, I'll just say this. When we read about Mitch Marner and whether or not he's going to stay or go in Toronto, when we read about Rantanen, you know, before he signed with Dallas, and, you know, some of these big, big fish that have, you know, potentially been about to hit the UFA market this summer, those are the sort of splashes I think the Calgary Flames are hoping to make at some point in time. Those guys where almost every team in the league is trying to get them, and they come in with just a little bit more money than anybody else. They're also working behind the scenes. You know, when Farabee and Frost were acquired, they sent out one of the owner's private jets to go pick them up that day and bring them back to Calgary right away. They're doing everything they can to show that they're as first-class an organization as the league has. They've got a new building that's going to have all the bells and whistles. You know, we've lost a lot of people in Calgary over the years. That's pretty well documented. And they want to make sure that this is, you know, somehow the reputation gets out there. This is the place where they can attract those big boys, if not just for the big money.
And Kadri, in terms of still his future there, do you think with a contract, I think, that goes to 28, 29, would he still be in a situation a year or two from now from riding a competitive run with Calgary? Or is he also a nugget that you could see can be easily traded within a year or two?
I could see anything, but, you know, and this is something that I know I've monitored all season long to see how happy Kadri is and whether or not the fit is still there. And he basically has kind of told me that as long as this team is a competitive club and has a chance to make the playoffs and, you know, they're not tanking, he's all in. So, you know, he's got a no trade this year anyway, so that was a moot point. But he was the one who kind of stood by it. He didn't want to be moved. He had every opportunity, if he wanted to do like so many of the other guys in the past here. But, no, he's all in. He's the best forward they have. He's been arguably their best player this year as a skater. And, you know, I laughed when people were talking about trading him at the deadline. Like, he's an integral part of how this team has managed to stay in this race. Look, they don't score a lot of goals, but when they do, it usually comes from him or Huberdeau on the top line, and they come in timely fashion. So they deserve a ton of credit, Kadri, you know, for not only sticking with this and being a leader, but also spearheading this charge for this team. So, you know, they love him. They want to keep him. But at some point, I'm sure that both sides will look at each other and go, maybe now's the time to part ways. I don't know when that would be.
Looking forward to him getting in the face of Vancouver tonight. That's for sure. Hey, Eric, really appreciate your time, man. Have fun at the hockey game tonight.
Yeah. Cheers, boys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Francis.
Eric Francis, senior columnist. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Rasmus Anderson, I think, moving forward here. He's got himself in a really good spot.
He does, yeah.
But I can guarantee you something. If they do trade him this summer, the team they trade him to will know for sure that they can sign him.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know what is interesting is we often talk about teams, like cities in Canada being on like no trade lists and stuff. Like everyone's like, yeah, Winnipeg's cold.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, Columbus, they're outside of Canada. There's like certain teams that are just on it. People like Calgary as a city. You know, it's big.
gorgeous out there.
Yeah, a couple million people.
It's beautiful. Very, like, go skiing. Banff is close. Like, it's you know, there's lots of good scenery around there.
I hear the same thing in Carolina, too.
Yeah, and I'm not, that is true.
And it is 100% true. It is a perfect place to raise a family. You got four seasons out there. I've yet to hear from a player that does not love living there.
Buddy, you could buy a place on Pinehurst for the, you know, amount I spent here in Toronto.
Yeah.
What about Mikko Rantanen?
Yeah. It had nothing to do with, I think, Carolina as a place.
Rod took it personally. Rod did not like that Mikko didn't want to be there.
The other day on Mike Fuda's show.
Hockey show with Marchese.
Yes. The agent for Mikko Rantanen was on. Andy Scott.
Yeah.
Do we have a clip?
We have the clip. You want to play it there, Derek? Or is it not Derek? It's Dachi. Sorry, Dachi.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a ton of respect for Rod Brindamore, both as a player and a coach. But in this situation, he's completely misinformed. And, you know, Mikko, when he was traded, you know, we were solely focused on Colorado. So there was no list of any kind. And in fact, when he arrived there, you know, I met with him in the days following, and he was keeping a completely open mind about Carolina and about that team and about that situation. And so, you know, he felt it out, and, you know, it didn't make sense from more of a hockey standpoint, you know, a style of play standpoint for him. And it was nothing personal. He thinks, you know, very highly of Rod Brindamore. He thinks highly of, you know, all those teammates of his in Carolina for that period of time. And, but, you know, this is a player that had a right to determine where he was going to play for the next 8 years of his career. And, you know, he gave it a lot of thought, even at Four Nations. We were communicating during Four Nations, after Four Nations, and he had not made up his mind. And ultimately, he did make up his mind, and we helped Carolina out by providing a list of teams at that stage in terms of where he would go. But that is the truth. That's how this unfolded. And so anything otherwise is not the case.
I don't know if we have the full time for what Tulsky responded with, but
Tulsky's the general manager of Hurricanes,
and he said sort of that Rod Brindamore is an exaggerator.
Guys. Yeah, do we have it?
It's short. It's, I don't know. We're running out of time here, but we have it. Dutch, we have time. We have time for it. Okay, let's play it.
It's not like the player walked in on day one and said, I'm not signing here. Here's my four teams. He did give it time. And that was something we heard from him a week before the deadline, not on day one. Rod's a little prone to exaggeration. It's sort of a running joke in our market that, you know, when you ask Rod about an injury, if he's like, yeah, you know, look, it's horrible. He's going to be out long term. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. That means the player's out until at least Thursday, maybe Friday. Look, Rod,
that's good.
Team.
All right, I'm not sure I'd go that far to tell the hockey world about Rod's exaggerations.
He's passionate, man. Like, Brindamore, you could tell, was bothered.
We're going to probably hear more and more.
It's a mess.
Here's what just everybody needs to know. Earlier in the year, Colorado gave Carolina permission to talk to Rantanen and Andy Scott.
Earlier in the year,
well before the trade. And Rantanen made it clear, okay, I'm not interested, right? My focus is on signing in Colorado. Yep. And they still traded for him. Mm-hmm. Which?
It's a whoopsie.
No, nobody does that. No teams would ever do that. And yeah. that one stung. It stung a bit.
They got pretty good assets for him, but didn't help him this year.
And this is a team trying to win the Stanley Cup this year.
I don't know if they think they're good.
Big win. No, they think that. And to their credit, they're playing well again.
Yeah,
they are.
They're beat Tampa last night.
Be in the 2-3 game for sure, and that's in the Metro.
All right, Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames on the network. Don't go away, Justin Bourne, in your living rooms all night long. Have a good one, everybody.
Weird.